That's it, I said. Cut her off. Just cut her off. I didn't want my leg anymore. It was held together by the metal beams and latticework of the external fixators, mini girders and stabilizing rods that poked into my leg from every direction. It looked like an acupuncturist had gone wild with big pins of heavy gauge steel and then decided to immortalize her work by locking it all in place. The apparatus was designed to hamper movement and help me heal, but all it did was help create the picture of a very damaged part of my body, a failing effort at recovery that only reminded me of my recent epic failure in life. This sad picture had a sad little soundtrack. The incessant whirring of the wound vacuum. When bone gets shattered, swelling typically equals healing. But heavy trauma to a limb causes your body to go into overdrive, producing fluid to fight infection. And when there's nowhere for the fluid to go, your limb swells up excessively. Because this swelling can be problematic, potentially causing you to lose the limb, I had to listen to the infernal humming of that fluid-sucking vacuum all day long. The constant noise didn't stop me from frequently asking, "Hey, is this thing still working or what?" Because my leg would get so swollen that the skin couldn't be brought together, and the tracts of reddish second skin used to fill the gaps would often appear to be on the verge of bursting their flesh seams. At one point, they had to cut a 12-inch gash in my shin to relieve pressure from all the swelling. It hurt. The whole scenario looked hopeless, and I concluded that it would be better to just remove the limb rather than waste more time and effort trying to save it. And that's why I started casually mentioning to the staff at the Bethesda Naval Medical Center that I'd made my decision. I wanted it amputated. Potato chips and lollipops. 1 week earlier. It was July 2009. We'd been told that the deserter's name was Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. He'd walked off his base in Afghanistan, gone into a nearby town, asked some people if they spoke English, and gotten himself captured. Now, Al-Qaeda and Taliban militants were attempting to smuggle him to a part of the world where Americans couldn't go after him. My unit was tasked with getting him back before that happened. At the very first briefing on the Bergdahl matter, I remember telling one of the guys in my crew, "Somebody's going to get hurt or killed trying to rescue this kid." As it turned out, I was one of those somebodies. Initially, after Bergdahl walked off, we didn't know where he was, so we had to wait for the right opportunity to present itself. It came a few days later. We were in our compound within a larger base, preparing for an entirely separate mission. When we operate, it's always an away game. We go to the enemy's neighborhood. To compensate, we like to have certain atmospheric conditions that are helpful. For starters, we work using the cycle of darkness, capitalizing on the sensory deprivation of nighttime as our functioning environment. This night, the target that we'd initially been tasked with, not Bergdahl, was beginning to rapidly lose fidelity due to unfavorable environmental conditions and due to the fact that it was already late and we hadn't taken off yet. We were losing time. On top of that, the target was in a rather populated area. Typically, when negative conditions start to pile up like this, we begin asking ourselves if the juice is worth the squeeze. It wasn't. When we hit our drop-dead time for the mission, either go or don't, we didn't. Too many negative variables, too little time. It didn't make sense to go in. We'd begun closing down shop for the night when a couple of our team leaders and one of our key planners, a friend and sniper I call the Fly Fisherman, were summoned to base HQ. They had a lead on Bergdahl's location. The fresh intel suggested there was a high probability that he was being held in a rural part of Afghanistan, in a village with scattered homes and buildings that looked like scrabble pieces in the satellite imagery. It was very likely a staging point from which the militants would courier him over the border, and then he'd be out of reach. It was actionable information, but it came with some pretty big red flags. We'd already canceled our other mission for the night due to time pressure and poor conditions, and our new window of opportunity was even smaller, given that Bergdahl was apparently being spirited over a border that was effectively a point of no return for us. Nonetheless, it was pretty clear. This was our best chance to get him. There really wasn't much to discuss. We were going, no matter the conditions.